If you've got your Bible, open it up to Proverbs chapter 24 to start with. We're going to be thinking about a few things, especially with going back to New Guinea. We've been back for over a year and three months or something like this, so we've gotten pretty well back into the Australia way of doing things, which is, so pray for us when we go back to New Guinea that we can adjust back into, and the change and everything that's all coming, and packing up your house and moving overseas and everything that's ahead of us. So please pray for us. And you look around and you wonder, why me? And you're all saying, yeah, why did God send Chris? And I don't agree more with you, because God could send someone else in my place, I'd happily accept. No. But why me? Why us? Here am I, Lord, send him. Love Isaiah chapter 6. No, he said, here am I, Lord, send me. And we look around and we get caught up in the things. Let's pray. Before we look into God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. We do thank you for calling us, Lord. We thank you for giving us life. We thank you for sending your Son to die for us and to die for our sins. We thank you for the work that you've given us, Lord. And Lord, we just want to give everything to you now, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a look at Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 1 to start with. It says, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. There's a big temptation at the moment for me while I am going through this, where I just look around and go, why am I leaving? Why am I leaving? Where am I going? What am I going for? And we look around and we look at the comfortableness and we look at the possessions and we look at all of these things and we go, yeah, I'd like to be like that. And don't we? We look at people and we go, I would like to be like those people. And you're struggling along and you're an apprentice. Say many years ago I was an apprentice and you earned like little money and you're looking around and you go, man, I've got no money. And the tradesman, and you go, yeah, I'm doing overtime, yeah. And he says, yeah, well, nothing times nothing is still nothing. Oh, man. What's the point of this? And when we desire these things and we're looking around and we're seeing all these people with these things and you see these people and you know, you're in a workshop environment and these people, they're always coming up and they want to get into schemes and they want to get rich quick and they want you to buy a lotto ticket. You know, Powerball's going for $50 million tonight. Do you want to put $10 in it? And I'm like, nah. I said, you guys are crazy. I pulled $10 out of my pocket, scrunched it up, threw it in the bin. And they're going, what? And they're going, you think I'm crazy? And they go, yeah. And I said, all right, tomorrow, let's see who's still got $10 in their pocket. Yeah? And they didn't come in skipping the next day, that's for sure. I said, I've still got my $10. And he's like, you shut up, Chris. Okay, and so they're scheming and conniving, and you see them succeed sometimes, and you go, man, I want to be a part of that, but it's not right, and it's unethical, and we're envious of these people. And it says, be not envious against evil men, neither want to be with them. And we've got a really cool candle here, and we've got a little object lesson. The fan doesn't blow it out, and I set the piano on fire. Oh, it's all right. We've got a little candle. It's a cool little candle. Comes from Israel. It won't balance on the pulpit. But while we're thinking about these evil, conniving men, have a look in Proverbs chapter 24 still and flick over into verse 19 and 20. And sometimes we get distracted and we're looking at these people and we're thinking, boy, I'd like to be like these people. Boy, I'd like to get those things that they're getting. I'd like to be able to do those things that they get to do. I wanna be like them. I wanna be a part of that. But look at what the Bible says, and this is where we're learning things here. We're learning. We need to really listen to what the Bible says. And there's been a bit of a battle. Let's have a look. Verse 19, the candle's going out. Went out. It's hot. I'll have to relight it. for the purpose of that exercise, we will need to have the candle lit. Is the wick just not long enough or something? Yeah, there's some oil in it. I was hoping we could burn it for ages. Okay. All right, we're going to do something really tricky here. Hey, there we're going. All right, let's have a look at verse 19 and 20 really quick. Fret not thyself against the evil man, neither be thou envious at the wicked. We shouldn't be envious of these people. Look at what it says, verse 20. It says, for there shall be no reward. I'll catch the oil in my hand. I blew it out. Look at verse 20. It says, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. Whoa, the candle of the wicked shall be put out. It's not going anymore. The candle of the wicked, and you know it's talking about your life, okay? So you, so my last Sunday. It's only olive oil, it'll wash out, won't it? Hope so. Okay, the candle of the wicked shall be put out, okay? The point is, it's frivolous. It's not lasting. It has no sustenance to it at all. I've been skydiving. Skydiving is really fun, but it's over in like 2 minutes. It's an all-day preparation, costs hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and then you go skydiving, and then it's over. And you look at these people, of all these things, of what's going on in the world, and we're envious of these people and their get-rich-quick schemes, and some of them work and a lot of them don't, and we see these people prosper and we see the things that they've got, and we look at these millionaires and they're, Sarah was just telling me today about these rich billionaires that drive around in Porsches and don't even care that they smash them up. You know, it's just, and throw money away in poor neighborhoods, but like being rude about it. And there's this richness that's going on in this world, but in the end, the candle is going to be blown out. It's going to be snuffed out in the end of it, and there is nothing going to be lasting in their life. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to what? Lose his soul. The candle gets put out. What's lasting? Be not envious of these wicked people. Let's have a look. We're going to jump through a few verses. Jump into Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 11, sorry. The faith passage, very well known. I liked that we were talking about in Sunday school this morning because it goes along with my message today, storing up treasures in heaven, things that are going to last. And we have Abraham here, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10. We'll go back to verse 8. It says, for by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Imagine that. There's Abraham sitting in Ur of Chaldees, and he's sitting there living his life. He's rich. He's a wealthy man. He's got his servants. He's got his family. And God says, right, Abraham, go somewhere. Where are we going? Not going to tell you. Go. Which direction are you going? That way. How long are we traveling for? I'll tell you when we get there. Okay, let's go. Who's going to do that? Yeah, my hand doesn't go up quickly for that one either. By faith, he went because God told him to. By faith, verse 9, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. It was promised to him, but he just traveled through, living in a tent. It wasn't permanent, it was temporary. Okay, it's temporary. That candle is temporary. And look at what it says here in verse 10, and this is a great verse. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. He's looking for something better. God says, go over to this place, and he's walking around in this wilderness place, and he's living there. And God said, okay, and here I am. And God said, that's right, that's where I want you to go. But he was looking for something of eternal value, wasn't he? And he's not going to find it there in Canaan, was he? This is something that's going to last. Think about that. These things of the wicked, the prosperity of the wicked, the things that are going on in this world, the things that distract us, the things that are going on, they're going to stop. Yeah, it's not going to last. What is going to last? Don't envy the wicked. Jump over to Luke. No, we won't go there yet. It says go over to 2 Corinthians. Go over to 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, and we're talking about tabernacles. Do you know what the tabernacle is? The original tabernacle where they worshipped God in the wilderness. God gave Moses the plan for the tent, a temporary dwelling. The Lord wasn't going to stay in a tent forever. They built a tent for the Ark of the Covenant and for Moses and Aaron. They ministered in there, but then they had a temple, a more permanent thing. But a tabernacle is temporary. If you look up the definition, they can have a tabernacle of booths. In the New Testament, you read about it. They get a bunch of branches and make a little hut. Basically, they're making a cubby. You get a bunch of branches and get a tarp and chuck it over it, you've got a tabernacle. That's a tabernacle, a tent, a branch thing, temporary dwelling. Okay, let's have a look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it's talking about our temporary body. Verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. That isn't the verse I was looking for. Maybe it's further down. We'll go back to verse 1. That's where it is. Verse 1 says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon the more the mortality might be swallowed up in life. I really don't think that was a passage that I was studying, but it has tabernacle written in it anyway, so we're going to look at it. Okay? Our temporary body, we're looking for something else, aren't we? We're groaning. We're struggling in this world. Our body is weak, and it's sore, and it's sick, and it troubles us, doesn't it? And we struggle with sin as we're looking in on Wednesday nights on a passage in Romans chapter 8 and chapter 7, the things that we don't do and the things that we do do, and this temporary body that grieves us. And what do we long for? We long for heaven, don't we? Okay, we long for heaven. Go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Go over to 2 Peter. Okay, chapter 1 and verse 13, we'll go back to 13, it says, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Okay, it's going to be over. It's going to be over. This temporary tabernacle is going to be over. It's not going to last. It gets old. It breaks down. You last for 105 years. You might not even get that far. We don't know, do we? It's temporary. It's temporary. The things of this world, our body is temporary. The things of this world are temporary. And we're moving through life. But what are you waiting for in the end? What are you waiting for? Are you looking for a city whose builder and founder is God? Is that what you're looking for? Or I was talking to the boys the other day about the crucifixion of Jesus. We just read it in John, and they crucified him. And then Pilate has him and they say, here's Jesus. And they say, do you want me to release him or do you want Barabbas? And they all go, no, I don't want Jesus. We want Barabbas. Who are you going to pick? Are you going to pick Jesus or are you going to pick somebody else? And there's an application there for us as well to rejecting Christ, or you can go for Barabbas. Where are you going to go? Are you going to go with Christ or are you going to go with Barabbas? Because if you go with Barabbas, you're going to go with death. And he was a robber. He was part of the insurrection and he murdered someone. And he was ready to be in prison, ready to be crucified with those two other guys on the other side of Jesus. And they were mocking him. And that guy on the cross, remember, says, we need to be here. This is our fault. We're here. We deserve this. But he is innocent. And the people chose Barabbas over Christ. Whoa. Are you going to choose the things of this world over Christ? Don't be envious of those vain people. Don't be envious of those things that aren't going to last. Don't be envious for these other people, because are they going to help you? No. Are they going to feed you? No. Are they going to pay your bills? No. Are they going to give you a house? No. Are they going to help you? No. Do they even know who you are? No. Hey, these people of this world that we spend so many years trying to impress don't care about us. Hey, you're in school. If you're in a school, how many people do you keep up with from school that you worked so hard to try and make these people like you, and you're envious of these people and you wanted to be like them and you wanted to be in the cool group and you wanted to hang out with these guys and you spent so many years trying to impress these people and now they don't even know who you are or where you're at? You can pick Barabbas, you can pick these people, or you can pick Christ. You know what? Christ is here. Christ is with us all the time. He never leaves us. He is always with us. Have a look at this. This body is temporary. We have a better future. We looked at that in Hebrews. But the end of the wicked was my Proverbs chapter 24, verse 40. The end of wicked, the candle is going to be put out at the end, and there's going to be nothing. But what have we got to look forward to? Go to Luke chapter 16 and have a look at this verse. Luke chapter 16, verse 15, just drives the point home even more. And when I found this verse, I was greatly challenged. Luke chapter 16 and verse 15, very challenging verses. And we think of the things of this world. It says, "And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of the Lord." Oh, those things that we think are good, those things that they think the world goes on about, they're an abomination to the Lord. What is going to be left? What is going to be left? Now, who is envious? Go over to Revelation chapter 21. We're just going to have a look here at the end here. The last verse of chapter 21 in Revelation here. Okay, this is right up to the end of the story here. And I want you to check with yourself and see, as a Christian, if you would be envious of the end of the unsaved people's lives. Okay, do you tell me if you're going to be envious of the unsaved people by the end of this? Ready? Verse 22, it says, "And I saw..." We'll go down. Oh, we could read it all. Doesn't really matter. Verse 24, "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light..." Oh, we'll read it. "Of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honour in unto it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there, and they shall..." Wait a minute, I'm reading the wrong verse. I'm having a bad day today. The end of chapter 20. There we go. The end of chapter 20, verse 11. One chapter off makes a difference. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." We're talking about the judgment right at the end here. Judgment, okay? Everything will come into judgment. It says it in Ecclesiastes even. God shall bring every work into judgment. "The sea gave up the dead," verse 13, "which were in it. The dead and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." Death and hell were thrown into the lake of fire. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Their candle is going to be put out. Who is envious of that end? I'm not envious of that end, so why should we be envious of their life? Oh, I was thinking about that. If we're not envious of their death, Why should we be envious of their life? Because look at where it leads. Go to John chapter 10. We'll finish up here. In John chapter 10. And we have hope though, don't we? We have hope. We have eternal life. We have eternal hope through Jesus Christ, don't we? Amen. John chapter 10. We shouldn't be envious of these people. Look what it says. Verse 9, it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Amen. What has Christ got to offer? Everything. Eternal life. Okay, so there's these people and they've made a decision. Christ has said, I will give you life more abundantly. And Pilate says, here's Jesus, he's your king. What do you want me to do with him? Because he didn't want to crucify him because there was nothing wrong in him. But it was for jealousy and for envy that the religious leaders put him up there. And they said, we want Barabbas. What does a thief come to do? But to kill and to steal and to destroy. But what did Christ come to do? I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. Eternal life. We're talking about eternal life, everlasting life, a full life, a meaningful life, a life full of purpose. Because you ask any one of these people who are rich and famous, are they happy? They don't go and commit suicide because, oh no, I've only got $16 million in my bank account. Phew. Yeah, is it money? Nope. Is it fame? Nope. What is it? It's an emptiness. An emptiness. There is nothing. It is pointless. It is hollow. It is empty. And this world has nothing to offer but death and destruction and sin. And that's true, isn't it? Look what Christ has to offer. I am come that they may have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. More abundant life. And not just life that'll go for a few years on this earth, but a life while you're on this earth is fulfilling. Because you have the Lord and you have purpose. Why did God create us? He created us for a purpose. What does everyone try and find out? Why am I here? Where did I come from? Where am I going? It's depressing. Why am I here? Because God put me here. What am I here for? To bring God glory. Where am I going? Well, I'm going to be with the Lord. Amen. That's what life is all about. It's about living for the Lord. Look what it says. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. There is purpose. There is fulfillment in our life. We have a hope. We have love in our lives. God loves me. Yeah, how much hatred and murder and violence and enviness is there in the world? But what does God give us? God is a God of love. He loves us. He died for us. He saves us. He gave us his life. And he'll give us eternal life, an abundant life, a full life, a meaningful life in him. And so we get so distracted, don't we? Go to Luke chapter 8. As Christians, I struggle. I will be honest with you. It is hard work being a Christian, but it is worth it. There is so many things coming up in this world. Luke chapter 8, and let's just have a look at verse 14. It's the parable of the sowers. The seed falls onto the footpath, the birds come and take it, falls upon the rock, it springs up and then it dies off, comes among the thorns, it gets choked out and some fell on good ground. Let's have a look here what it says in verse 14. And there was that which fell among thorns, they are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Choked out by the things of the world, the awesome cars and the house and the money, and it crowds in and it pushes the word out and it pushes your life out, your Christian life, and it gets choked out. And we get distracted by the things of this world. Why do we get distracted by the things of this world? Because we battle with the flesh. We need to look to Christ. We need to go to Christ. We need to be in Christ. Go back to John chapter 10 and let's just look there again about what that's saying and what he has done to give us life more abundantly. How do you make your plants grow? You've got to cut them weeds out around it. Constantly. Done it. And then you think you pulled it out. Oh, it's back again. But I sprayed that with Roundup 6 months ago. Yeah, I need to spray it with Roundup every day. You need to pull those weeds out. That vine that grows everywhere. Oh, you can't get rid of it. And that's our flesh, isn't it? But we need to keep pushing it down and going to the Lord and giving it to Him that He may give us life so that these weeds can be pulled out of the way so that we can grow. So we can grow in the Lord and do what He wants us to do. Praise the Lord for what He's done for us. Because then, you know what? There's a little saying and it says, you want to hear God say, well done? You need to do what He says. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to put that up in my house and then I'm going to say, do you want to hear Mum and Dad say, well done? Well, you need to do what they say. But isn't that true? You need to do what He says. And we can't expect just to float through life choked out by the world and then expect God to go, wow, awesome, well done. He'll probably scratch his head and go, well, you're in, you're saved, definitely, but hey, you don't have much rewards here. You know, don't be envious of the wicked. We're not envious of the wicked's death. Let's not be envious with their life. And so pray for me, please. Pray for me as a family as we leave the land of plenty, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land just of just everything, okay? And then it's a battle for us, I'll be honest with you. As we prepare to leave, pray that we can go out there and do what God wants us to do and that we can have a fruitful ministry and we can bear fruit in our lives. And as God cuts things back, like He talks about in Matthew 15, where He says, I am the vine and we need to be cut back and we cut back and we cut back and it hurts and it hurts. But then when I cut my tree back, it doesn't bear fruit this year, it bears fruit later. We bear fruit later. And so just pray that we can bear fruit there, over there in New Guinea. And so just please pray for us over the next few days and weeks. And let's give it to the Lord. And He has come to give us life more abundantly. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You that You've given us life. Help us to live a life that is worthy of You, Lord, that we can walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we've been called, Lord. And we just thank You for all that You've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.